Hello, everybody. Welcome again to another edition of the Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza, brought to you by Bucky's Fifth Quarter. Make sure you guys go to Bucky's Fifth Quarter for all your Wisconsin Badgers news, notes, analysis. This is, like I said, Jay Kokorowski. Jam-packed show. We got Scott Wisniewski coming up, Polish Rifle, in just a couple minutes. I'm just running a couple minutes behind. We have a lot to get to. We will preview the number 7 Nebraska Cornhuskers, led by quarterback Tommy Armstrong, head to Camp Randall Stadium under the lights in Madison, 6 p.m. ESPN. Big time. Bucky's Fifth Quarter will be there. They take on the number 11 Wisconsin Badgers. And can the Badgers get on a 2-game winning streak, continue their push, and hopefully with some help later on in the season from with Nebraska losing, hopefully get to that Big Ten West division title and then heading on to the championship game. So on top of that, it's been a really good, I hope everyone's had a good week. We're also going to talk some Packers and Atlanta Falcons. Of course, there's been some late breaking news today about a former Badger. We'll talk about that in a second. Just wanted to thank you guys first and foremost. For coming out, for those that did, to the book signing that we had on, last night, which is Wednesday night, at University Bookstore for Walk On This Way, which is my book on the tradition of the Wisconsin, Walk On, program, and just the ongoing legacy of it. Big thank you guys for, making that possible. It was a lot of fun, a lot of great faces there. Hopefully you guys come out. Another opportunity to come out is Saturday. If you're in town, 11 to 1, University Bookstore, State Street this time, not Hilldale, but State Street. We hope to have Donnell Thompson, inside linebacker, middle linebacker for the Badgers, two-time captain for the 1998-1999 season. He will be there, hopefully, and we're going to talk about that and talk about his story, his journey, hoping for a couple other Badgers. Stay tuned in the next 48 hours for that. But thank you guys again. We've just been very humbled to tell the story of many walk-ons, over 100 interviews altogether. I think we had 98 people we spoke with altogether, which is crazy. But just all the follow-up interviews and whatnot, we were thorough. We worked really hard on this, I'm sure you guys are sick of my voice, by the way, because we went through the media car wash, which is really just big thanks to Ebo and Joe Miller from The Zone on Monday. Big thanks to Mark Tosher, Jason Wilde, and Tony Cartagena and Greg Scalzo at ESPN Wisconsin. Big thanks to Mike Heller, Drew Olson, John Arias, Phil Dawson, and Mike Lucas from iHeartMedia, Madison, for that. That was a really great time. Big thanks to everyone who came out. And thank you so much for all the support. Where you guys can get the book, kcisports.com. Click on the link at the bottom of the page. You guys go there. It's also available at bookstores, University Bookstore, at both Hilltale, State Street locations, Bucky's Locker Room, and of course, like I said, online, kcisports.com. And also available on Amazon.com if you feel like doing that too, obviously, if you're a Prime member. So, talking real quick, news today broke. One of the players that we spoke with a couple of times for the book, Jared Aberderis, the Packers and the Badgers parting ways due with an injury settlement. He was put on IR, the short term, recently. And was negotiated as an injury settlement with the team. Talking with Greg Matzik earlier today, this literally maybe and not even an hour ago, he had battled a quadriceps problem, which kept him out of some recent games. And it's a rough go at it for Jared Aberderis, who, obviously has fought injuries. He's fought, try and come back. You've seen what happened. Torn ACL, first week of training camp in 2014. Last season, a concussion keeps him out the entire preseason up until like the last week. gets cut, put on the practice squad, comes back, contributes in a high fashion, especially in the playoffs when all the injuries surface for the Packers. And we wish Jared well. I know he'll battle back. When you're talking, if they put it up on their a podcast station, which hopefully they will. You guys should check it out. The interview that WTMJ that Greg Matzik did. I got a chance to listen to part of it on WTMJ AM 620 out of Milwaukee. Basically, some highlights from it. he admitted it's probably going to take probably a month to get back to full speed. you think he'd be able to play, but wouldn't be at full speed, which is huge. And obviously, if you're thinking about where the Packers are and what they, in terms of you hear a lot of time not getting separation. Well, I mean, if he's not at full speed because of the quad injury, that's really rough to try to, he's a great route runner, but you need to have that speed there. And the one interesting part, we got the Polish rifle Scott Wisniewski on there, and you can read some of the tweets at 620 WTMJ on their Twitter handle. But the one interesting part for Aberdeen when was asked by Greg Matzik about playing time, he said he really didn't know why, and he said that's a tough part. And and a lot of people, especially you heard about Mike McCarthy praising him in the offseason for his work ethic. You heard about Aaron Rodgers talking about him earlier this year. In last year about how he needs to get more into the offense. But overall, Aberdeen mentioned it was everything for him to be drafted to his hometown Packers. He's appreciative of the fan support. He's going to find a home, guys. Once he gets healthy, I can guarantee you he's going to find a home. He's shown he can produce. If he can stay healthy, he could go far, and it's you wish Jared the best of luck and haven't interviewed him for the book. He's a very humble guy and he's, it's a rough day, but I can tell you guys that, just talking to him, he thinks, he knows God has a plan, he's going to carry it out from there and continue rehabbing till he's right. And I'm sure he's going to get picked up by an NFL roster. And we're here with Scott Wisniewski, the Polish Rifle. How you doing, brother? And, your thoughts on Jared Aberdaris? Now a former Green Bay Packer.
It's not going to be a popular thought, but I'm just going to lay it out there anyway. It's a lot of much to do about nothing. I like Jared Aberdaris. I think he's a great guy. I think he was a great college receiver. I don't know that he's going to be a great NFL player or even a good NFL player. You watch this game, you watch the NFL game over the years, as we all have. There are guys who get injured and, it's a one-off thing and they're relatively healthy. And then there are guys who it just becomes the thing that defines them. And I heard you talking about, and I've heard this all day today, so you'll have to just apologize that this angst isn't directed at you, but it's like the 10th time I've heard somebody say Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers praised him in the offseason. I believe he works very hard. At the same time, did you expect Mike McCarthy to say when asked about Jared Aberdaris, yeah, he stinks, or yeah, I don't know why he's in camp. To be quite honest with you, what's made Jared Aberdaris the player he was his hard work and his ability to go the extra mile and overcome what people thought were perceived notions that were going to hold him back, be it his size, be it his speed, be it all the other things. He was always a hard worker. I would have expected him to be praised, but at the same time, I have to ask this. And as much as we criticize Mike McCarthy, and there's plenty of reasons to do so the last couple of years, especially in his play calling and some of the other things that he's kind of machinated into. But if somebody can help you be a better team, especially in offense that essentially for the last 16 regular season games, 18 games overall, whatever you want to call it, has sputtered, has been a shell of itself, has lacked explosiveness. I think everybody would agree with that. I don't think any of that is hyperbole. That being said, if Jared Aberdaris could have helped improve what has become a stagnant, ordinary offense, you don't think they would have found a way to get him on the field? You don't think they would have found a way to make him more of a focal point of the offense? I think that there's been a lot of hate directed towards Ted Thompson for this move and Mike McCarthy for not using him. But I still have to say, you know, and I'm not privy to it either, because, but fans don't see what goes on in practice and don't see, you know, because there's a lot of people who, the same people who were mad about this move today were saying, well, he should have been kept on the team if he were healthy over Davante Adams. As much as people hate Davante Adams, sometimes unfounded, is as much as this state loves Jared Aberderis. And the truth is really somewhere in the middle. Davante Adams isn't as bad as everybody thinks, and Jared Aberderis isn't as great as everybody thinks. And it sucks that he couldn't stay healthy. I really wanted him to prove without a shadow of a doubt if he was cut out for this league. And he might get that shot if he can stay healthy, if he can latch on somewhere. It's unfortunate he didn't get the chance, but I don't think he was artificially held back by the coaching staff or the team, especially with as bad as this offense has been, or at least, like as I mentioned before, ordinary the last calendar year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, you know, and sometimes, I mean, I'm not a head coach and I'm not an offensive coordinator, so I'm not going to doubt certain things, you know, with whatever the process is with the offense. I mean, I think the quad, obviously he had a quad injury, so that's going to hamper his speed. And you know, I mentioned it though, you know, if you don't have your speed, the Packers receivers are having enough trouble trying to get separation on cornerbacks right now. So, I mean, if he's not 100%, there's, you know, that's why if he's held back with that, well, yeah, that's why he's not going to get snaps, you know? So, I mean, like you said, I agree in the notion where, you know, there is a lot of love for Jared Aberderis, and I have a lot of respect for him. I know you do too. But it's also like, I mean, I'm a realist in the fact of something happened. There's some personnel groupings. But, you know, being a football player too, you wonder what happened with that. Like what personnels are not working with there. And maybe, you know, from you when you talk to other guys, you know, when you talk to other analysts or whatnot, you know, maybe Jared, you know, was in a different position and there's someone, I mean, obviously there are people in front of him too that the Packers thought, you know, maybe was a better fit there. But, you know, I think he'll find another team. I think he definitely could. He has the potential to be productive without a shadow of a doubt. I know that for a fact. But it's just a matter of, like, when he gets healthy and goes from there.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I don't even know how hurt he is. The last 5 days have been weird. He gets put on IR, even though there was no talk of him being injured after the Bears game. You know, so completely surprised by the IR designation, okay? Then he's put on IR like a half a dozen other Packers, but unlike some of the other Packers, and obviously in Lacy and Shields, they'd like to bring one of those guys back, okay, if they're able, you know, at the end of the year. So that being said, I understand that. There's other guys on the IR that weren't released. So, okay, so here's Aberderis, surprised by it, but okay, he's on the IR. Then a couple days later, he's released. That seemed weird. It almost makes me think that he wasn't injured enough to be on the IR. Maybe they put him on there, then reassess, and then just figured, you know what, IR or not, you know, he could probably play in the league this year. He doesn't seem to fit in on this team for whatever reason. And maybe they did him a favor by giving him an injury settlement, because if he's healthy in a couple weeks, he could sign somewhere else this year. Because, again, I don't know the extent of the hamstring injury. At least it hasn't been reported to me. It just seemed like a weird week and a weird move that they wouldn't at least carry him through the end of the year, which, again, just kind of says that for whatever reason, he didn't fit into their future plans or what this offense wanted to do. Now, what this does do, what does make me angry, is that the Packers kept 7 receivers coming out of camp. And whether it's Aberderis or whether it was Davis or whether it was Janice, I expected one of those guys to get cut. They keep all 7, and by doing so, pretty much left them short, so short at running back that now their number one guy in the depth chart until Starks comes back is a wide receiver in Ty Montgomery. So that was an interesting move. If you didn't see a place for him, you left yourself short at another spot that has now come back and bit you in the rear end. So that part, in a bigger picture, is something Packer fans should be more upset about, is if you didn't see a future, you could have cut him in camp and let him go somewhere else and figured out how to keep depth at another important spot at running back.
Yeah, and so, I mean, going forward, you know, what they do now and how, I mean, you know, now they go up and, you know, after a win last week against the Bears, utilizing Ty Montgomery, utilizing the just what they're, you know, try using him as a running back. You saw some Randall Cobb back there. You didn't see Hiles Davis that much. The newly acquired running back from Kansas City only played, I think, one rush and was a negative 1 yard, something like that. Mm-hmm. They now head to Atlanta, taking on the Falcons, that coming off a loss to Melvin Gordon and the San Diego Chargers. Gordon having 3 touchdowns that game in his resurgent sophomore campaign. And now, you know, probably a PO'd Atlanta team with your cornerbacks not necessarily up to full strength. How are the Packers going to take care of the Falcons? And, you know, I mean, is this go back to rely on the offense? Is it going to be a shootout?
You know, I guess I'm hard pressed, honestly, to in any game coming up in the next few weeks, pick the Packers to be a favorite. And here's why. Okay, Stark's out. We already know about that. But you talked about it. No practice from Randall or Rollins. Clay Matthews was limited. He'll play, but he's nursing some things. But the other thing is, so you got your cornerbacks and Shields obviously being out. That's huge. That's huge. That's huge. That's huge. Running game, really non-existent. I know they're doing a few things with Montgomery out of the backfield, but predictable if they don't give him the ball to actually rush it. So they're hurting there. And they still, we haven't talked about it because he's been gone a few weeks. It seems like he's been gone longer, is Jared Cook. So offensively, your weapons are drained still. I mean, you don't have a running back. You don't have a true threat at tight end. You haven't had a whole lot of imagination in the sets. Even with Montgomery in the backfield, it's been a predictable offense. And you're right. The way Matt Ryan's throwing the ball all over the place, with the cornerback depth being what it is, if they're healthy, I'm picking the Packers to win this game. But they're not healthy. And honestly, for the next couple weeks, until they're able to get some of these bodies back and hopefully not lose any others, can you, especially with these road games coming up, can you really, honestly, with good faith and good conscience, pick the Packers to win one of these games?
Yeah, it's right now, just the way that offense is still not clicking. Yeah, they got up track a little bit, but you don't have Lacy, you don't have Stark. It's a rough go. You know, and they pushed back that Atlanta-Green Bay game. It's now a 325 game for those that don't know. It's going to be a daunting challenge, and I just I don't know, you know, how this team's going to – I mean, obviously, it's the NFL, and teams are talented enough, and let's just say that. Like, you know, you saw, you know, firsthand, the, you know, what the Packers can do and what they haven't done, and, you know, it's – how do I say it? It's a – I mean, yeah, the way it is right now, I don't know how – I mean, Atlanta, it's a good shot. Colts and Titans should be intriguing. But, yeah, it's a rough stretch, and you don't have the health there, and, I mean, you're depleted on that end. It's going to be a tough stretch for the Packers. I mean, they're definitely not – I mean, they're playoff contenders, but, I mean, it's not as strong as people thought. Remember back in the early in the season, Scotty, where they talked – you know, everyone's talking about – I mean, I had high hopes. You know, the fact that Rodgers was looking godlike in – training camp and you know, you heard that, and the defense you know, returned a good bunch of their starters and whatnot. I just a lot changes with injuries, a lot changes when things just still aren't clicking.
Think about this, Jake. If they have Cook, if they have one of those guys, one of the running backs healthy, and even one of those cornerbacks, if not two, you know, but let's say Shields was still out and you had one of those guys, Randall or Rollins, I think they beat Atlanta. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, people go, well, it can't be three players. And, you know, they won the Super Bowl with the most injured team in football that year. That's true. That's true. But I think that Super Bowl team was a little bit more deep. This team had Super Bowl talent, and I still think when healthy does. But they don't have the depth that last Super Bowl team had. They don't have the wherewithal to. And again, people will say it's Ted Thompson and he doesn't get free agents and he drafts poorly. No, he's done fine. The roster's fine, but there's only so many hits at a time most NFL rosters are able to absorb. You know, the Packers were from top to bottom roster wise, maybe a bottom top 10 team, 8, 9, 10. But now they've lost some of that depth. So it's hurt them. It's put them out of, they're not a Super Bowl team constructed this way. But again, they get guys back. I think they're back to being a contender. If they figure out some of these other things, but injuries, you know, they happen and some teams get hit a little bit harder by it. And I think they lose this game. Yeah, I think they could still beat the Colts. I was talking about the road games. You know, they got the Eagles on the road. They got, those road games are with this team without the health. It's going to be tough to pick them on the road until they're at 100%. I mean, it's really going to be a tough sell for me to think they can go into a rough environment. And think about the margin, the razor thin margin they're at. They can't sustain another one or two injuries from somebody on their, you know, one of their starters. They have to survive. And you know, this is the thing that's frustrating. So they had the extra time because of the Thursday game, and they still didn't get really anybody back, anybody healthy. And that's really the difference too, because some other teams in that situation would have gotten at least one or two guys back with the extra couple days, not the Packers, you know. So, you know, and I know it's a story in the NFL. It's really, you know, we live in a bubble a little bit, and we think the Packers are the most injured team over the last 5 years. They're actually not. Over the last 5 years, they're in the middle of the pack, believe it or not. But obviously we feel it more because we live here in a Packer bubble. But, again, some teams, you know, it's about who gets injured too. You could lose one of your offensive linemen, and you could lose maybe a defensive lineman and overcome it. Maybe an inside linebacker if you have, you know, good replacement level players. But when you lose guys like, you know, cornerbacks, especially in a league that's become a pass happy league, when you lose running backs, when you're already somewhat of a predictable offense, those become tough. You know, when you lose a safety valve tight end in Jared Cook, on a team where they've had a hard time finding separation. Let's be honest. Nobody's separating. And I'll tell you what, one of the theories I floated out there was why these receivers can't get separation. In the past, they say now, you know, somebody said, you know, in the past, if you let Rodgers hold the ball, he'd kill you. Now you let him hold the ball and he'll make a mistake. The difference is in the past, Aaron Rodgers would take off and run more, okay? And what would happen, and I know he's not doing it because he's trying to preserve his body, and I get it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying he should be a run-happy, run-first guy. But when he would run out of the pocket, and what it would do is it would start making the linebackers and some of the safeties cheat up because they thought he would run. They thought he'd be more of a running threat. Now he only runs to escape, and very rarely does he go upfield, okay? Now – those guys over the middle, they're holding tighter coverage because they're not expecting Rodgers to take off out of the pocket. So it's taken away one of those weapons, and it's allowed them a little bit more blanket coverage. So, again, I could be all wrong on it. It's just my theory, something that I feel like I've seen. But whatever it is, these guys have to find some separation. And Jared Cook's a guy that could do that in the middle. You know what I mean? And the fact that he's not there and he's not available – it's really hurt.
And now you have, like, just real quick, keys to the game, obviously containing Julio Jones if you can, that high-powered offense for the Falcons. Predictions for the game on Sunday.
Well, Tevin Campbell's not going to play, it looks like, so it's going to be just Freeman, a heavy workload for Freeman. I think Atlanta wins this game. I think they win it 31 to 20. I think they win by double digits, a little bit pulling away at the end. I just think they're going to hit big plays. They're going to hit third and longs because the Packers are going to have a hard time covering. I think the key, though, for Atlanta, if they're going to be that team, if they're going to win by double digits, I think you're going to see a little bit more out of Mohamed Sanu, who's been quiet the last few weeks. Because if the Packers game plan a little bit, and not that they do, because Dom Capers doesn't usually plan to take one guy out of the offense. I'm not, again, not saying it's bad. That's just his MO. But even if they do, then you need to have, if you're Atlanta, your other receivers able to do something. And but I think Atlanta could win this one by 10 or 11 points. It could be one of those games, much like the Dallas game, where it's close for a while. The offense is unable to punch it in. The defense gives up some big plays. And late in the fourth quarter, Atlanta ices it and ends up winning by double digits.
Yeah. You know, interesting thing too. Yeah, I think Atlanta wins. I'll say 34-24. Yeah, I'll say 34-24. Interesting fact, like, you know, you have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Next five games, only one game's a new game. So you have some, you know, 2, 3, 25 outings. You have the noon against the Titans. And then you have Redskins and Eagles currently at 7:30 at night. So one on the Sunday night matchup against the Redskins, like you mentioned, on the road. And then you have Monday night against the Eagles. So, you know, they'll be in prime time. They'll be in some of the major viewing times for the NFL. So we'll see what the Packers are made of. You know, let's see. Breaking down some more stuff, you know, before we'll talk some World Series, and just before we end the show, we're going to try to wrap this up about the next 20 minutes. But, you know, going on to college football, obviously the big game this weekend underneath the lights of Camp Randall Stadium. Once again, Wisconsin number 11 in both polls, even after their 17-9 win at Kinnick Stadium against Iowa. I would say probably some points were lost with the fact that they didn't score more against Iowa when they had opportunity. But you also had the fact that you had teams like West Virginia and Baylor that are surging up in the up there. I think that's where that came from. So it's a combination of the style points, if you will. Even though Kinnick Stadium, if anyone's been there, those sidelines are so close. And, you know, maybe that – I'm not saying it contributed to Sitchie's injury at all, because Sitchie just goes – Jack Sitchie goes full blast all the time. But it's a very close sideline, and they came away with a win in a hostile environment. Now they take on, again, another ranked team, number 7, Nebraska Cornhuskers. And you know, I'll be down there at, you know, 6 p.m. kickoff, ESPN. Scotty, I mean – in terms of from what you've heard from Nebraska, a lot of people have talked about they haven't beat anybody, but yet they're still undefeated. They've won when they've needed to. I mean, you know, maybe the game that was the one that was the coming out party for Mike Riley after a really rough year last year, where they lost so many rough game close games against Oregon. They're not as good as advertised as previous Oregon teams. Is Nebraska, would you say that they're overrated, or I mean, is it just one of those things where I mean, there's not many undefeateds left, so I mean, and they've proved that they can win, but you know, is it somewhere in the middle there?
Yeah, they're a little overrated, but that doesn't mean they're not good. They're better than Iowa, and Iowa, you know, kept it a one score game with the Badgers. They may be better than the Badgers. I think they're pretty even. I think the Badgers are slightly better. Right? I think the Badgers have done a good job, you know, in big game situations. We didn't get a chance to talk after the Ohio State game. I wonder if that was by design, but
no,
we didn't get a chance to talk about that loss, where I thought they had several chances to win that game, and they just didn't get a couple plays here or there that they needed. They prove that they belong. They prove that if they can get through the rest of the schedule and get back to the Big Ten championship game, I don't know why anybody would feel that they don't have a shot to win if it's Ohio State or Michigan. You know, that said, you know, they've suffered some injuries. They've been able to overcome some of them. Now the Sitchie injury and another one that's, yeah, boy, just tough. I mean, they're just one tough injury after another. There've been so many things that this team has had to overcome, and so far so good. There's a couple tests left on the schedule, and one of them is going to surprise you. This is obviously one of them. You know, they get a chance to beat – we've been talking about that three. Can they beat their third top 10 ranked team of the year? I think they have a shot this time around. And then the other game that scares me, and I know you're going to think I'm – I know you're going to laugh at this, but I'm the Northwestern game scares me a little bit.
Oh, no, you don't have to –
I don't know
don't
what
have
it
to
is.
Say that. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. Northwestern, they haven't won there, if I'm not mistaken, since 1999 or something like that.
Right.
Ryan Field, it's not a great field to play on. It's a but it's spelled disaster. The last time they played there, 2014, the Badgers had 150 some odd yards of offense, but you know, they're 10, and gosh, Belvin Gordon ran for 250 plus. and they still lost. And you know, ineffective quarterback play. Tanner McAvoy gets replaced by Joe Staave, who's just coming over his mental block and was rusty, threw three interceptions, one that was critical in the red zone. And so it's a very it's a daunting task. And you know, I think that's the key. And Northwestern's playing well. You know, they are playing well right now. So I agree. No, it's nothing to be – there's nothing to say that you're crazy about. You're absolutely right. And it's been talked about, too, on other media stations, on other radio stations around, especially today. I mean, Northwestern's 3-1. They are 4-3 overall and 2-3 at home. But obviously the intangibles there and trying to, you know, lift that, whatever it is, curse, BS, whatever it is, just a string of bad luck and bad play in Evanston – they need to circumcise, or not circumcise. No, that's bad. Exercise that you know, those demons there. Yes, it. Yes, not a Freudian slip. It's been a long day.
No, I hear you. No, you're right. But can they win this week? Sure, they can. You know, they got to play solid. They don't have to play perfect football, I don't think, but they have to play good football. And I think if they play good football, I know this is, you know, the standard coach speak, limit the turnovers, but limit the turnovers. I think they beat Nebraska. I think this team really, they control their own destiny as far as getting a shot at the Big Ten championship. They really do. I mean, I know, you know, they've got the two losses, but I think Nebraska's going to lose another one down the road. They got to beat Nebraska, though. You know, if they don't beat Nebraska, that Nebraska's basically going to have a 3-game lead on them in the division, and there's really no chance. So as far as the Badgers go, they have to look at this as in some semblance of a division championship game, because even though they won't move in the first place with a win, their hopes will pretty much be over and done with as far as getting a shot to win this side of the conference if they don't win this game. So they need to look at it a little bit more like a playoff game, and maybe that's how you can – another way you can kind of catch them napping it's a bad word because they're going to be ready for Nebraska too, but Nebraska doesn't have necessarily as much to play for as the Badgers do, because again, a loss for the Badgers, and yeah, they're going to get a nice bowl, but they won't be playing for a Big Ten title.
Yeah, you hit on the head. They have to win out. They absolutely have to win out. Nebraska does need to lose. They do take on Ohio State on the road. They take on Iowa on the road. So you have that opportunity.
Yeah, they're
going to
lose again. They're going to lose.
Yeah, there's a really good opportunity, especially with Ohio State now losing in Happy Valley to Penn State, and a shocker for that matter. And it's a, you know, which really puts the Big Ten East division into an interesting standing. But, you know, back to, you know, we mentioned with just some of the keys to this game, you know, they have to stop the run. You know, Wisconsin is ranked top 10 in rush defense. And, you know, they held a team, 180 yards per game on the ground to 83 last week. And that's without Olive Sagopolo, their sophomore nose tackle, 340 pounds. And you had Connor Sheehy, Garrett Rand. Garrett Rand's a true freshman. Really stepped in. They played very well. And Paul Chris is complimentary when asked about that on Monday. But heading into this game now against the, against the Huskers, you know, it's insane. Like it's a very, you know, it's a very good offense for the Huskers. I mean, I'm just looking right now at their total offense right now. They are third in the conference. They average over 447 yards per game. You're looking at, let me take a look at some rush offense. They average 211 yards on the ground, and they average 236 per year. So it's balanced. And that goes to the armor, Tommy Armstrong. That's been without Jordan Westerkamp, their standout wide receiver, who's bound to come back now this week. So, I mean, the key, I think, always starts with the run. If they can stop that run and they can stop what goes on there with Armstrong and their new running back, Newell, they have the ability to really make an impact and force Armstrong to pass. I think with that, I think, you know, we'll see how, you know, if Beagle and Watt and the other linebackers and defenders for that matter can contain Armstrong, because you can't, like, they can't do what they did against JT Barrett, and they had Barrett dead to rights in a couple of plays and just, they had him, but you know, he was elusive, and credit to JT Barrett. He's a great quarterback, but it's a, you know, they have to contain Armstrong and that running game. And I think from there, success will come. And just with, you know, I mean, let me ask you too, Scotty, like from what you saw in the you know, granted, there weren't many points. There weren't that many points in that game against Iowa, or, you know, with 17 points, right? What are you seeing some promise with that offense, in your opinion, from what you, what you've seen in terms of, I mean, they're racking up yards. It's just, they can't, I've mentioned this before, where they're pushed up against the wall, but, you know, they're putting their opponents up against the, you know, the corner and the ropes, right? Like Michigan, they pushed up against there. They pushed the Buckeyes, you know, they had a lead a couple weeks back, but they're just not landing that knockout blow. And so, you know, like, are you seeing the signs, you know, especially last week against Iowa, they are racking up those yardage. Is it just the fact that they can't right now put the points on the board?
I'm still really fearful about their kicking game. You know, they missed the field goal against Iowa. It ended up not hurting them. They won the game. You know, so yeah, they need to punch it. I guess my point is, what will alleviate my fear of the kicking game is for them to punch it in the end zone a little bit more often. Then I won't feel as anxious every time they're in the red zone and field goal range and they have to rely on the kicker. So, I think, you know, to get to the root of this, I think the Badgers win this game. You know, I think it's close. You know, I think, you know, 27-24, you know, but I think they get the win. And, you know, we talked about the schedule. If they win out, again, I see at least one more loss for Nebraska. So if the Badgers win out, they've got a shot. This is where it all starts. And it's been a tough schedule. Boy, if they could have just gotten one of those, they could have got Michigan or Ohio State. You know, any one of those, they'd be sitting, you know, near the top five, maybe number six in the country. But, you know what, it doesn't matter in the end. If they win out, you know, they can still do something special this year. I think they win this game. I think they win by a field goal.
Yeah, I'll say 24-14. I think the defense still responds, even without Cicci, who, you know, Vince Beagle referred to as the energy of the team, right? And I think they rebound nicely. I think it'll be obviously a close game for a good part of it. So we'll see. I think Nebraska comes in, and a lot of people are, you know, feel it, you know, they're not up to par. And yeah, against Purdue that first half last week, they were not. But then they came back in that second half, held Purdue, if I'm not mistaken, to under 100 yards, and also no scores. So this, you know, I think Nebraska is legit, but we'll see how legit they are, you know, on the road, especially this week, and then next week at Ohio State, and then later on this season. So I'll say 24-14. I think Wisconsin is just, they know that they have to win out. I think there's a lot of respect there for Nebraska. But I think the offense continues its progression. I think the running game was a solid sign. It's been a solid sign the past couple of weeks. If they get that offensive line, just the rotation down a little bit more, and a little, in my opinion, just getting them more coalesced. I think big things will come with this offense, and I think they do win and bring back that Freedom Trophy. You know, they retain it here in Madison. So, going real quick, let's we got a couple more minutes left, Scotty. Talk some World Series, 1-1, Cleveland, and you know, you have Cleveland, you have Chicago, crazy World Series matchup. You have Rookie Wild Thing Vaughn, and you have the kid from Rookie of the Year. Who do you got in this series?
You know, I still think it's going to be the Cubs. You know, I've tried to not be a hater. I have a lot of friends who are Cubs fans, and I really want them to enjoy this moment and enjoy this time frame, this window, especially while the Brewers are down and not contenders anyway. So, you know, fine enough. But boy, the sense of entitlement that's coming out of some of these jack wagons in Chicago is just amazing. yikes. I mean, I'm trying so hard, man. Like, I really am. I think Chicago still wins this thing. I think they win it. You know, I personally think they win it in six, but I'm going to say they win it in seven. They're the better team. And I know, listen, trust me, I know more than anybody, the better team doesn't always win in the playoffs. But this team is equipped, you know, they're managed well. They've got a good head on their shoulders. They're they're good in so many ways. They can hit and they can pitch. They got a good back of their bullpen. That said, they also have a very, very good fielding team. If you look at some of the advanced metrics for fielding, they just do everything right. And it's hard to win sometimes if you're the best team, even if you do 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5 things right. But it's tough to beat a team that does just about everything right. And they do. You know, they've got, especially for a playoff series, you know, you could say, well, they're fifth starter. They don't need 5 starters in a playoff. So they're equipped very well for a championship run. And what's funny is, while many people thought they were going to be good this year, they're actually just trying to get to the playoffs this year and then build in the offseason and try to get better for a World Series championship next year. I think they're a year ahead of the curve. The young players have been amazing. We talk about it all the time. We've talked about, you know, Russell and Bryant and Rizzo and Contreras. And now they've got Schwarber back just as a DH still, but they got Schwarber back for the series. This is a good young team that's going to be good for – get used to it – good for a long time. That said, I think this series is set up for them. Now, do I rule out Cleveland? No, I think Cleveland has to come home with the lead, though. I think they have to figure out a way to take 2 out of 3 from Chicago, and that's tough in Chicago. If they can come back with the lead, I think they can win one of those last two and pull the upset. But if they don't come back to Cleveland up in the series, if they come back down 3-2, it's over. And again, it wouldn't surprise me if the Cubs swept them in Chicago. I think Cleveland's a better team than people give them credit. So don't misunderstand. It's not about Cleveland being terrible. But, man, the pressure. Did you see any of the World Series? Like, game one was a good game. Game two was a great game, too. But here's why game two was great. So the Cubs, when they had two runs in the first 3 innings only, but they had worked the pitch count up for Bauer to, like, 90 pitches through 3 and 1/3 innings. They just put so much pressure. You know, they work the count. They get on base. They draw a lot of walks. They're always under pressure. And a starting pitcher in the stretch with runners in scoring position, it's a whole different ball game for most guys, unless you're one of those very special, you know, 3% eliters. And that's what they do. That's what the Cubs do. They put pressure on pitchers, and they're tough to beat. It's gonna be hard for Cleveland to do it. No matter who wins, it's going to be a world championship more than 60 plus years in the making for Cleveland, and obviously over 100 for the Cubs. So two long droughts. I mean, it's a good story no matter what. Obviously, the national media, the story is better if the Cubs win it. But even if Cleveland wins it, it's a great story just because of, again, the drought both of these teams has had to deal with. But so far, 2 games in the books. It's been a good series. The ratings have been up. I know that's been helped by the Cubs being in it. And I'd like it to go 7 just because it makes for a more compelling series. But again, I think the Cubs can win this thing in 6.
Yeah, no, I think Cubs, I think I'll say Cubs in 7. I think Indians, the Cleveland will make it, they'll make it a battle. I think it'd be great for Cubs fans, but Cleveland could, you know, continue its resurgence in the city with having the Cavs win the NBA championship and then having the, you know, their baseball team take it home as well. So so sorry Joe Thomas and Joe Schobert and Darius Hillary for that, but on that note, not much else is on. Any other quick hitters you have before we take off, brother?
It's going to be a good football weekend. I'm hoping for better results than I'm predicting for the Packers. I think the Badger game is going to be fun. It's going to be another special one at night. So good football. But unfortunately, here's a quick one. You want a quick hitter? I'll give you a quick hitter.
Yeah.
I will not be able to attend or to watch the Badger game this week.
Why is that?
Well, you may not know this, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but I'm going to anyway. Our good friend Lane is getting married.
What?
Yeah, getting married. And the short notice of it was, so this is how I found out. In a group, Ross family group text, there was a text saying, hey, if get married at the end of the month, will you guys stand up? Everybody kind of thought it was a joke. And then it turned into like a typical group post where people were just kind of making fun of each other and posting memes. Okay. So
right.
I get a call from Vic saying, hey, how, you know, last week, a week ago today, how come he never responded to Lane about standing up to his wedding? It's a very small affair. It's immediate family and the groomsmen. So, but yeah, so out of the blue, I went from planning trick or treating around the Badger game, because trick or treating by our house is from 4 to 7, to I figured I'd get 2 hours of trick or treating in with Ryder and then be ready for the Badger game, to attending a wedding now. So there'll be no Badgers for me. So.
Well, I will tell him congrats for me. I just messaged him on Facebook saying congratulations as well. So hopefully all is well on and the day is memorable for all the right reasons, and we love him, and I haven't had a chance to talk with Lane in years, but no, that's awesome. So but yeah, and then this is a quick FYI for people too. On Saturday, book signing, University Bookstore, State Street, 11 to 1 p.m. Donnell Thompson, we're still hoping to, he said he's good for it. We're just making sure it's confirmed, but we hope to have the former middle linebacker, the two-time team captain for the Rose Bowl, the back-to-back Rose Bowl squads in 1998, 1999. Hope to have him down there. Maybe a couple others. We're still working to confirm that. So yeah, no, it's a busy weekend for both of us. And thank you guys again that came out. For those at the Mendota Gridiron Club that are members, appreciate you guys taking some time listening to my pitch on why the book is awesome. And also everyone that came down to the University Bookstore at Hilldale last night, Joel, myself, Zach Hampton too. Big thanks to the former walk-on there for having some fun. We had really good time talking with him. And a lot of good stories. So afterwards, and it's a very fortunate. Very fortunate to have this book out, and for those that came out, we were signing, 45 minutes straight, and had a couple of people at the end too come up. So, please come out on Saturday. You won't be disappointed. It's game day. You can put your book back into your car and then head down to pregame the rest of the time, but really it's awesome. Thank you guys again. So it's and that's what I've been doing. And just big thanks to all the media guys that allowed us to talk about the book and pitch it. Our friend Phil Dawson, by the way, Scotty, got me to talk about my old indie wrestling career, talking to people last night, apparently it was a big hit. So maybe that's a return to the ring that will never happen, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what will come from all of this. It was funny because there was some talk about, speaking about Lane again, he almost went down to your book signing. I don't know what would have happened, because I know the rest of the Ross family would have been in tow. So, you're throwing the dice when that happens. But yeah, good stuff. I also saw some of the other posts. Were you on with Jason Wilde and Mark Telcher?
Yeah.
Was that?
Yes. Sat right next to Jason Wilde and sat next to him. Tosher right across from me, and Joel was kitty corner from me, and it was great. It was a really nice talk, and we had the ability to pub the book and just talk about it, and gave Jason a copy. And I texted him afterwards, and I said to him, like, hey, I forgot to mention, Scott Wisniewski, Polish Rifle, we do a podcast, and his text back was Kielbasa Kings. And so hopefully we can get him on the show one of these days. So we'll see how that goes.
I'd love to have Jason on. Jason's a great guy. And honestly,
he really is
one of the truly nicest guys I've ever had a chance to meet. Not just nicest guys at broadcasting, like legit nice guy, smart. He's great. I can't say enough good things about Jason. That would be fun. I know he's a busy guy, but I'd love to get him on if he ever had an opportunity.
Absolutely. So no, we'll talk about that down the road. So it was great talking to him. Tony Cartagena and Craig Scalzo were great too. Like, that was kind of just out of the blue. Honestly, it was one of those things where we were on. Wilde and Tosh said, hey, thanks so much. And then Tony looked at me and said, "Well, you guys want to go on from like 11:10 on?" I said, "Sure." And so we literally had a great 20-minute discussion on air between all of us. It was just so much. It was really nice to talk with them. And really big thanks to Ebo and the guys on Monday, Ebo and Joe. And a big thanks to Mike Heller, Drew Olson, and John Audius on Tuesday afternoon. And Lucas and Dawson, Phil Dawson, shout out to him for helping get me on the air and talking some wrestling. And that was so much fun. So we had a really good time. After that Wednesday show, people were at the Gridiron Club going up to me and saying, Oh, you're the guy that's the wrestling guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm the wrestling guy. And I promise you, Scotty, with this, that I was like, yeah, I tried to keep saying I wasn't that good. And, I was on and off and, whatnot. But so hopefully nothing seemed misconstrued from my pro wrestling days that, as Mike Lucas had noted, like, well, you don't really look like a wrestler. I go, neither did I when I actually wrestled, in terms of not being the 240-pound guy that many imagine a Polish-American grappler to be. So, I'm happy to get back on doing this. Sorry about missing last week, and looking forward to doing it again next week, brother.
Hey, have you checked to see if your hits on YouTube have gone up from any of your old matches? Maybe you're getting a rub that way as well. No.
Oh, heavens, that. Yeah, I actually didn't give out my name, which they didn't ask for. So hoping not. I did enjoy doing the Fusion Pro Wrestling videos back in the day, doing the highlight tapes. So, other than that, folks, thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter at KielbasaKingsWI. Follow Scotty at ScottWisnusk2, me at JCocoB5Q. And, of course, B5Q, the home for all Wisconsin Badgers news, notes, and discussion. And, I'll be at the game, so will Owen Reese. We're going to be covering it. Check out there. Also, check out Kurt Hoag. We're hoping to get him, make sure he's credentialed. He's going to cover our basketball team, former MLB.com associate writer, reporter, and now back at B5Q. Enjoying him being back in the fold. And whatnot too. So yeah, man, this is we're back in full spring. Full go. And now, you have football. Now you have college basketball starting up, and just so much going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. It should be interesting. Again, hoping for a great safe weekend for those of you with kids that are going out trick or treating, especially this night trick or treating. Reflective clothing, just. If it's cold, make sure they're warm. Keep them safe. Have a good time. For those of you older people who still think Halloween's a drinking celebration, be safe as well. Halloween is – I know I'm quite a bit older than you, but when I was in college, Halloween wasn't a thing. I mean, it was, but it wasn't. Then the advent of the trashily, scantily dressed nurses, scantily dressed everything else popped up, and Halloween has just become a billion-dollar business. Hey, by the way, I got something to plug, too. If anybody is looking around, I will be on What's the Score, the podcast, again this weekend. Taping it Sunday, it'll air on Halloween night. So if you're looking for fun, it's my second appearance. Last time I won the quiz show. It's kind of an interactive quiz show. I'm looking for going for two. So make sure you find it. I'll post some links on Facebook and on our site for you to listen in. It's a fun time. Baxter Colburn does a great job. Honestly, it's a fun show. You won't be disappointed. Fast moving. It'll be the fastest hour of your life. And you can see if I'm able to hold my own and perhaps get my second win in my second appearance.
Excellent. Well, good luck to you, brother. We'll be looking forward to talking about it. Yeah, we'll catch up on that for sure. And we'll talk, like I said, next week. We'll talk Badgers, Wildcats. We'll talk Packers, Packers and, oh, shoot, who are they facing the week after that? I already forgot. Long week. And we'll preview the Packers next matchup and so much more here on the Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza, brought to you by Bucky's Fifth Quarter. For the Polish Rifle, Scott Wisniewski, this is Jay Kokorowski. Doza, my friends.
Accordion solo, American Polka, played by Mr. John J. Kimball, Edison Records. Thank you.